The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Today, we are going to talk about over-the-counter pain relievers. Acetaminophen, so more commonly known as Tylenol, ibuprofen. And what makes me think about this is that in the last 2 weeks, I have had about half a dozen patients come in saying that they themselves have had concerns about kidney function or irreversible damage done to their kidneys or liver because of these common over-the-counter pain medication that, you know, it's just no big deal. We can pick them up. You can buy one bottle. You can buy 100 bottles. Doesn't really matter, right? And I think our assumption in that then is that they're safe. If we could just buy them at our leisure and no one is, there's not a prescription that's needed, then it can't be that dangerous, right? Until now, I've literally seen, and again, this is just in the last 2 weeks, we've had these people. So it's so often that we walk around with acetaminophen or Tylenol, like these over-the-counter pain relievers in our purse. Or, you know, men, I found that they just, when they get up, they just toss a couple in their pockets. And the more new patient evaluations, initial exam and consultations that I do, I've been blown away at how from the medical community, it's just this Band-Aid fix, right? It's the quick, easy fix for it. But in reality, when you look at, when you take it as suggested, you know, most of them are no more than 7 to 10 days. And the individuals that I've spoke with directly have been taking it for months, if not years. And when they look and inquire to figure out what is another alternative, they're just told to, you know, one of them, one person was told them they've just got to rotate between the two. So let's get down to the root cause, but I really want to talk about some of the dangers of these over-the-counter. And that's really what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. I think this is important to know. You know, when you graduate as a board certified medical doctor, you go out and practice primary care, right? You're a physician, PCP. But oftentimes people want to dive in and do a little bit more research in terms of a specialty. And the same thing applies when you talk about board certified chiropractors, right? It's not a weekend degree. I think this is important to know. There are 4 parts of national board accreditation. So when you hear about someone who's a board certified plastic surgeon, there's board certified chiropractors. We can't be a doctor without it. And we are doctors, right? We're not medical doctors. Sometimes people get that confused when we say, hey, I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. And they say, well, you're not a doctor. Yeah, I am. When you look at it, a pre-medicine and biology double major for undergraduate, you know, chiropractic school is year-long schooling. There are no summers. And it's a 4-year program. So yeah, with four parts of board certification accreditation, there's we have to be state licensed. We carry malpractice insurance, right? Like, we are educated doctors, yet we are not doctors of medicine. I don't care to be a doctor of medicine. When you look at doctors of chiropractic, you know, I'm a DC doctor of chiropractic, and that's one that has allowed me to, from a secondary component, to start my functional medicine certifications so that we can learn more about health, disease prevention, but to really treat individuals as a whole. Now, that being said, after we graduate, you would just be a chiropractor, and that's great. Chiropractic in and of itself is amazing. But I chose to go a step further in my clinic. So myself, all the doctors within are certified in structural correction. So we actually look at restoring curvatures, leveling out pelvis, specialize with degenerative disc disease, osteoarthritis, scoliosis. That is something that we specialize in, right? And so that being said, it did take some additional training. So we have to be able to have more of that knowledge and training. And so it's one where my goal is never to be the Band-Aid fix. I'll tell you that my longest days come when people come in and, you know, ouch, I've got an ache here. Ouch, I have an ache here. That's obviously what we help. The days that I'm exhilarated is, you know, we just had a woman who wrote an awesome Google review for us because it's literally changed her life. She had failed back surgeries. She was hunched over. She could barely walk. And she said, just in a couple of adjustments, this has given her a quality of life she hasn't experienced in decades. And that's really what I wanted as a doctor. I don't want to be this Band-Aid fix. Here's this rack'em, stack'em adjustment. Come back when your back hurts. But we never really get to what's causing the pain, right? If you still have an unlevel pelvis, the problem is still there. If you've lost the curvature in your neck, the problem is still there. If you have underlying ligamentous damage within the spine, you know, the problem is still there. And unless you have a doctor that's specialized and knowledgeable and being able to address that, then you do. You're chasing your tail. And it's just like anything else. It's a Band-Aid fix. And that's our goal at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. That's what myself, all of the practitioners that you'll see at our office are specialized in. This is what we do, is getting to the root cause of the problem. So it isn't something that is a continual snowball effect in terms of processes. So, but before we get into more about the dangers of over-the-counter pain reliever, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications. Maybe
today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
So for today's health in the news, we are talking about the top three ways to prevent disease. It was interesting. That's the kind of stuff I click on. Top three ways to prevent so many diseases is the actual title. So I was like interested because one of two things happens when I look at this. Either I am going to agree or I'm going to disagree. Right, so it's pretty much cut and dry. But so they talk about in these times of uncertainty, the one thing we can do to take charge of our health. Many of the keys to staying healthy, happier, and living longer are easy, free, or at least cheap, and within reach of most all of us. So we're all stressed. So let's keep this brief and top line. Master these three science-based healthy habits and you'll high five your way to feeling great. Number one, exercise regularly. So this writer puts, years ago, a doctor told me if there's one thing in life you can do to live longer, a longer, healthier life, it's exercise. While they may have been one man's opinion, even the CDC ranks exercise sky high on its bucket list of activities. They say only a few lifestyle choices have a large impact on your health as physical activity. So people who are physically active for about 150 minutes a week, right? So that's 150 minutes, 60 minutes, 120. Like two, what is that? Like 2.5 hours? General math is hard. So people who are physically active for 150 minutes a week or 2.5 hours have a 33% lower risk of all-cause mortality than those who are physically inactive. Let's just say that again in plain English. If you get up, oh, here we go. If you get up and move for 21.43 minutes, so approximately 21 and a half minutes each day of your week, you cut your risk of dying from anything by 1/3. It's a no-brainer, right? In addition, exercise, even just walking at a moderate pace, has been shown to improve cognitive function, help you control your weight, reduce your risk of disease, and of course, strengthen your bones and muscles. So even if you're someone who has limitations, this is one where you don't give up. There's always modifications. So some benefits are immediate following your exercise. After finishing one 30-minute physical activity, you'll have less anxiety, lower blood pressure, more sensitivity to insulin, which you want, that's ideal, blood sugar, and you'll sleep better that night. Get the recommended 150 to 300 minutes a week for adults of moderate intensity exercise, such as brisk walking, dancing, bicycling, tennis, water aerobics. The benefits continue to go up. Within a few months, you'll see improvement with your blood pressure, heart, and lung function, as well as lowering the risk of depression, anxiety, type 2 diabetes, bladder, breast, and colon, kidney, lung, and stomach cancers. Not to mention the benefits that you'll have for stress reduction, better sleep. Exercise, get up, move. If you have questions, you know, in our office, we teach high-intensity interval training, even for individuals who have, joint replacements, hip and knee degeneration, back problems, right? There's tons of modifications you can do. The goal is just to continue to work on getting your heart rate up. So number one, move. Exercise regularly. Number two, if you're just tuning in, number two out of the top three ways to prevent so many diseases. Eat a plant-based diet. Duh. Keeping a healthy weight, defined by doctors as having a BMI between 18.5 and 24.9, is another key way to stay healthy and reduce your risk of all manners of diseases and conditions. There are a lot of excellent diets out there to keep your weight under control. Most of them that they use, some of them they talk about here, I don't necessarily agree with. One is the DASH diet, dietary approaches to stop hypertension. I think I talked about this, gosh, it was a while ago, and it was not... Though it addressed sodium, you know, it was like high-carb bagels, and it was just questionable. They talk about the MIND diet, which is Mediterranean DASH. I don't know much about that one. And then there's a flexitarian diet that combines the words flexible and vegetarian. Who comes up with these diets? Here's what I will tell you, right? When they talk about Mediterranean style diets, it can reduce the risk of diabetes, high cholesterol, stroke, dementia, memory loss, depression, and breast cancer. It's also been linked to stronger bones, healthier heart, and a healthier microbiome of the gut, and a longer life. Oh, and weight loss too. This is one where I firmly believe, I know that there was some documentaries that came out a while back that really hit hard on the vegan diet. And most of their bashing of the meat was conventional meat. So I agree, I don't believe you should eat conventional meat, but there's a lot of health benefits when you look at grass-fed, wild-caught, when you talk about meats and dairies, right? But what was interesting is that I have always wondered, what if you just took that person? And one, once they moved to that vegan diet, they stopped eating crap, right? Like, I don't know how to say it nicer, but, you know, there was a person that I knew who was like, I'm going to go vegan. I'm like, that's awesome. But his nutrition beforehand was really poor. And when he went vegan, his nutrition really cleaned up. And yes, it forced him to eat more vegetables. But my thought process is, what if you just stopped eating crap and start eating more vegetables, right? You didn't have to cut out and limit, you know, your eggs or dairy or meat, fish sources, right? What if you had those really clean sources and you just ate more vegetables, would your health look different? You know, and the answer is yes, you know, but they don't do the stop eating crap and eat more vegetables diet, right? We've got the flexitarian diet, like flexible vegetarian. Guys, like, you have to make proper nutrition choices. We talk about fuel for our cars all the time, but we never talk about fuel for the body. So we can't figure out why we have zero energy, right? We don't feel right, but we can't figure out we've put zero nutritional value into our bodies. This is one where I've shared before, is that literally I've gone through blood work of individuals who are not only overweight, but obese. And when I look at their lab work, it literally shows me that they are, they're in nutritional deficits. So they're not starving. Their cells are starving for nutrients, and their body's not getting it from the food that they're putting in their body. Number three. So number one, is exercise regularly. Number two, in terms of steps of top ways to prevent so many diseases. Number two was eat a plant-based diet. Agree with that. Number three, get good quality sleep. So depending on your age, you are supposed to get between 7 and 10 hours of sleep each night. Getting less than these studies links to high blood pressure, weakened immune system, weight gain, lack of libido, mood swings, paranoia, depression, and a higher risk of diabetes, stroke, cardiovascular disease, dementia, and some cancers. Sleeping less than the recommended amount each night on a regular basis may double your risk of dying. In a longitudinal study of 10,308 British civil servants, researchers found that those who reduced their sleep from 7 to 5 hours or fewer a night were almost twice as likely to die from all causes, especially cardiovascular disease. So here's what they talk about. How to train your brain. One, make sure your bedroom and pillows are comfortable and your room is set between 60 to 67 degrees. What? That's crazy. My husband sets it at 70 and I'm dying. I'm so cold. Set your room cool, right? Avoid stimulants, coffee or tea after 3 p.m. Eliminate all lights. This is so important. We are creatures of light now. So literally the blue lights on your cell phones, on your laptops, on your television. My phone is set where I turn off the blue light. So I almost have like this brownish glow to my phone at all times because of the fact that that blue light literally stimulates the melatonin. So your body thinks it's light, right? It's light. And if it's light, then it's day and you don't sleep during the day. And so we're on our phones literally until the day. This is the other reason too. I used to read books on my phone, like how convenient. And I will still sometimes, but I realized I just got back to like books and I got a little side light on my nightstand. So I just needed to be off my phone, but turn off the blue lights. You can get blue light blockers that you can wear for your television. Set a bedtime routine. This is for adults, right? Like kids thrive on routine. It's important for adults to do that too. But even making sure you turn off those lights. So oftentimes we sleep with, you know, television and all of this stuff. Just, you got to turn it off. An interesting thing that I had stumbled upon this week was that I had seen before the light bulb was invented, the average person slept 11 hours a day. And once the light bulb was invented, it actually moved down to 7 hours a day. And I thought that was really interesting about just how modern technology can have such an impact on normal features, like normal situations, normal habits is really the word I'm looking for, right? Like our habits, you know, when it's dark out, you go to bed. But now it's like, you don't have to go to bed because you got the lights on. You have all these things that you can do while it's dark. Just interesting. So exercise, eat right, get good sleep. The top three ways to prevent diseases. Now, when we come back, have you been taking that over-the-counter pain reliever for more than 7 to 10 days? Could be problematic.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Glorious, glorious, got a chance to start again. I was born for
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always schedule an appointment online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. Today, we are talking about over-the-counter anti-inflammatories, painkillers. This is one that I see so often that is commonly overused. But then now too, you know, and I 100% agree with, when you look at this huge opioid epidemic that we have, like, yes, it is a huge problem. And no, I don't think that we should be handing them out because that creates a problem in and of itself. But we're never really getting to what is causing this, right? When you look at the frequency in which pain medication is prescribed for back pain, 9 times out of 10, it's not typically a joint, though it can be. Oh, I just saw someone the other day who says, you know, my knee has felt better than it ever has. By the way, we've never adjusted this patient's knee. We've only adjusted their pelvis, but it puts unequal stress and pressure on the knees. Went out of town, traveled, life got a hold of him, hadn't seen him in a little bit, and said, I knew because my knee started to ache. I started to come back in regularly. My knee pain went away again, right? Like when you're talking about not from a Tylenol. And remember, these over-the-counter pain relievers, they don't get rid of your pain. They literally stop mechanisms for your brain to feel that pain. Because if it got rid of your pain, then when you stopped taking it or it wore off, then you would still have no pain, but that's not true. So what happens is that it keeps coming back. And this is one, just like anything that you consume, your body often builds a tolerance to that. For example, nicotine. Right? You know, you used to smoke one or two and now it's three or four. Your body requires more. Alcohol, right? Get a little buzz off of a glass of wine. I have to have multiple glasses, right? Same thing happens when we talk about these painkillers. You know, you used to see relief if you took one. Now you have to take two, three. And the absurdity of the amount that people have been taking. I talked to an individual who was taking 800 milligrams a day, 800, and ibuprofen. And she said, you know, I'm still having a lot of this pain in my back and in my neck and my shoulders. And the doctor said, well, just alternate then Tylenol and ibuprofen and just do every other throughout the day. And she said, they actually, after a couple months of that, went in and did lab work and looked at her kidney and liver enzymes and said, hey, we're actually finding that there's a bit of distress on these detoxification organs. So you've got to cut back. And she said, well, now what? I'm still in pain. And they said, we don't really know. This is probably what you'll have to deal with for the rest of your life. And she was like, you know, at 43 years old, that's just not something I'm willing to come to terms with. Like, I don't have a quality of life I want at 43. What does that look like for me at 53? And I said, exactly. I agree with you 100%. Let me ask you this. Imagine if you were to take a whole bottle of Tylenol all at once. Guess what would happen to you? You would die, right? You'd have to go to the emergency room, overdose, pump your stomach, activate a charcoal, right? But what if you just take two or three a day until the bottle runs out? Makes you think, huh? You know, because that's apparently totally safe. But here's what's really interesting about this. So I went on to Tylenol.com and just the Tylenol website to see how many, because I started looking at some of the risk factors. So let's talk about some of the dangers when it comes to acetaminophen, also known as Tylenol. We often don't think about it once or twice, but one of the huge damaging effects is liver toxicity. And so overdose with acetaminophen is the leading cause for calls to poison control centers in the United States, with more than 100,000 calls instances per year. It's responsible for more than 56,000 emergency room visits. 56,000. So that's more than 1,000 a week for emergency room visits, and an estimated 458 deaths every year due to acute liver failure. In fact, over half of all acute liver cases in the United States are due to acetaminophen overdoses. Half. 50% of all acute liver failure cases are due to acetaminophen overdose. That is incredibly problematic. Taken over several days, as little as 25% above the maximum dosage, or just two additional pills, two additional capsules of Tylenol a day, has been reported to cause liver damage. That is why the staggering overdose may be more dangerous than a single large overdose. Right? Staggering, like over several days. That is incredible. And so, because think, your liver, this is a toxic chemical. Your body has to filter it out. So current guidelines recommended taking no more than 4,000 milligrams of acetaminophen daily. Yet according to a 2006 study published by the Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, even this dosage taken for four or more days frequently causes elevated serum ALT, right, which is a liver enzyme, a marker for liver injury. Moreover, the elevation of ALT often persists for several days after the acetaminophen was discontinued. This is what I've been finding more and more the further I've been looking into this, is that for oftentimes this is irreversible damage. The liver is a bit more resilient than the kidneys are, but I was looking at how many, you know, because I don't know what, I have literally zero idea in terms of how many milligrams. So I was looking at the Tylenol website to kind of shed some light on how much is in, you know, the average when it comes to this. So it was interesting. First is just, I was just looking at products. So there, this is, I can see that there'd be like a huge overlap. So there is headache and muscle pain products. There are arthritis pain products. So like Tylenol arthritis, it's for 8 hours. It's extended release. That's 650 milligrams of acetaminophen. 650 milligrams of acetaminophen. So I was like, 4,000 kind of seems like a lot. But in reality, like that's just taking a couple of days. So if you took three a day, you know, that's 2,000. 4,000. I took my calculator out for this one because obviously you guys heard that my math isn't very good. So that's six. So if you were to take six a day. But the problem is I don't necessarily think that people are taking six arthritis a day. I think that they're taking two to three arthritis a day. And then I think that there's muscle aches and pains, right? So that's another 8 hour extended relief capsule. And then there's Tylenol sinus and headaches, right? So you can take Tylenol sinus, and that on top of that, let's see how much that is. For ingredients, we have, it doesn't even tell me, that's safe. Again, acetaminophen through there, nasal decongestant, expectorant. On top of that, right, so you've got the arthritis, cold and flu. So you've got, you know, all the cold Tylenol, cold and flu that you use. Oh, and there's tons of liquid. That's awesome. And then we have sleep and pain, right? So we want to Tylenol sleep. And then, you know, we've got it for our kids too, which I was reading literally. They said for some of this, you know, there's ages two. You think about if you start this at the age of two, what's going to happen to their liver if they're taking it multiple times a year for all of these different ailments as well? It just, so we think, oh, it's, well, I'm not really doing that much. Well, maybe not of that one, but over the course of time, the longer that you do this. Two, the other thing that was really interesting to me is when I asked these patients, hey, tell me, how long did your doctor recommend you taking this? And they said, well, they didn't tell me a time. You know, if it's a solution, we say, hey, we think you have an infection. Here's an antibiotic. In 14 days, it should clear up. Be done in 14 days. And yet somehow with this over-the-counter, because it doesn't really get down to any causation, it is so easy to then just be like, no big deal. Just keep taking it. It legitimately blows my mind. But then you look too at other sorts of dangers that come along with it. One, which is huge, is the reason why it causes liver damage is acetaminophen depletes levels of glutathione. Glutathione is your body's master antioxidant. And so literally it affects intracellular glutathione. So glutathione helps with protecting cells from damage by free radicals. It prompts administration of NAC, which is N-acetylcysteine, which is the precursor to glutathione, which can actually help prevent mortality from acetaminophen toxicity. And it literally depletes your body of that. So again, that is one thing that, you know, why do I look for more natural ways to help when my kids are teething and I don't run to the Tylenol? Is because the last thing I want to do is at the age of, you know, 1.5, 2 years old, start depleting my master antioxidant. Does things like help fight disease processes, different cancers, right? Oxidative damage and stress on the DNA. And we're taking that away every single day. Do you guys see how something so simple as your achy back and your mild headaches that we say, hey, it's just from the weather. Oh, it'll go away. I'll pop some. Guys, all you're doing is masking a huge problem and then creating literally organ system dysfunction by just popping these over the counter. Another huge one that they found is gut health. So acetaminophen causes intestinal hyperpermeability. So they're actually finding in terms of like increase for autoimmune diseases with that increased hyperability. They said chronic use of acetaminophen greater than 2,000. So for you to look at, so that would be approximately 3 of the extra strength or arthritis pain, 3 a day, has been associated with a 3.7 time increased risk of bleeding in the upper gastrointestinal tract. Almost 4 times more likely. So again, I look at, like, don't you think we should be warned about some of this stuff? And the crazy part is they have. They have, because when you look at the warnings on here, it literally says, don't use more than 4,000 milligrams of acetaminophen. Warning, liver warning. This product contains acetaminophen. Severe liver damage may occur if you take more than 4,000 milligrams of acetaminophen in 24 hours with any other drug containing acetaminophen. 3 or more alcoholic drinks, right? So, hey, we're taking 2,000 and we're having a glass of wine when we go to bed, or a couple beers before we as a nightcap. You know, literally what that's doing, your liver already is saying, I can barely function with the amount of Tylenol that you're giving me, but now you're giving me something else that I have to filter out. So here's what it says. Stop use and ask doctor if pain gets worse or lasts for more than 10 days. 10 days. Have you been using acetaminophen for more than 10 days? That's a problem. You need to talk to somebody, right? Who told you to take it? Talk to them and say, hey, what counterindications could this have on my liver, being that I've taken this for the last 3 months or 3 years? When, if you've been taking it, when was the last time you had a general metabolic panel that looks at your liver and kidney enzymes to see if they are compromised, right? Or do we just say, hey, no big deal, not my problem? Because in reality, if your kidneys shut down, whose problem is it? Right? It's not theirs. Again, acetaminophen, talking about cardiometabolic health. They found that researchers have found an association with cancer. So a 2013 meta-analysis found that acetaminophen was associated with a significantly increased risk of kidney cancer. 2011 study found more than 6,400 older men and women found that acetaminophen use was also associated with several different types of blood cancers, including non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, plasma cell disorder like multiple myeloma, myeloid neoplasms. It's acetaminophen in pregnancy. It's currently marked as safe. However, acetaminophen use during neurodevelopmental consequences has neurodevelopmental consequences for fetuses. A 2016 study followed more than 2,000 mother-children pairs from the first trimester of pregnancy and performed several tests of behavior when the children were about 5 years old. 40% of children were exposed to acetaminophen in utero. Exposure to acetaminophen was associated with lower attention function and a higher risk for ADHD, like activity behaviors and impulsivity symptoms. In boys, acetaminophen exposure was also related to a greater number of autism spectrum symptoms. So, totally safe. No big deal. You can grab it over the counter. Like, do you guys not see that there is a problem with this? I can go on and on and on. I don't, and we might touch base about it too once we talk about ibuprofen and kidney function. But when you look at, do you see in totality how this has become a problem? You are not getting any healthier when you take it. It just shuts your brain off and doesn't allow you to feel that pain. And that pain is trying to get your attention. It's trying to tell you to stop doing something. It's trying to tell you there's something underlying going on. Yet in our society, we have normalized it that you just pop a pill and you're good to go. You have to start doing something differently. And that's really what we want to do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Get down to the root cause of the problem. Initial exam consultation, just $25. See what's going on. See if there's any radiology images that we need to take. We can help you find the root cause of your problem. So if this is your path or this is your loved one's path, you don't have to go down dialysis, loss of liver, you know, acute liver failure. To schedule an appointment, call 317-893-2853, or you can just hop on our website and schedule an appointment there through greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, when we come back, what about ibuprofen? Same, better, worse. We'll chat more next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne. I've got that power
in you. Power. Over-the-counter pain relievers. If you can grab them, they must be safe, right? We'll talk more about that. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853, or you can always schedule an appointment online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That is greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam consultation is just $25. So today we're talking about acetaminophen, right? So you hear all of these things and you say, well, that sounds awful. I probably shouldn't really be taking a lot of acetaminophen. And you say, you know what I'm going to do instead for my pain? I'm just going to transition over to ibuprofen, right? Or naproxen. We're going to use an NSAID, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. Well, this is like Motrin, Advil. This is ibuprofen. So here's the good news, is that ibuprofen doesn't really affect your liver like Tylenol does. But the reason being is because it has an effect on your kidneys. So here's where we're talking about ibuprofen. Ibuprofen and other non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, also known as NSAIDs, block prostaglandins. So prostaglandins are natural body chemicals that normally dilate blood vessels leading to the kidneys. So they open them up. Prostaglandins, so by blocking prostaglandins, it leads to a decreased blood flow to the kidneys, which means a lack of oxygen to keep the kidneys alive. And that can cause acute kidney injury. So acute kidney injury is one of the biggest culprits when it comes to naproxen. So in one study, individuals who took NSAIDs had twice the risk of acute kidney injury within 30 days of starting taking the medication. And it talks about like, hey, make sure you take, you have blood work done. You can do a quick blood test. Make sure you're showing any increase in your creatinine. If your kidneys are affected, you'll usually see it within the first week. And it's like, how many people are taking, you know, the even recommended dosage? Generally, the maximum dosage you can take is 32 milligrams or 12 over 12. Oh my gosh. That means if you take a dose every 6 hours, you can take up to 800 milligrams each time. This is crazy. The amount of stuff that people are taking. And again, why do we take these? Well, because we have aches and pains. Well, what's causing the aches and pains? I can tell you for 100% certainty, 100% certainty, that a lack of Advil, Motrin, or Tylenol is not the cause of your aches and pains. So if a lack of over-the-counter pain reliever is not the cause of your, like a lack of that is not a cause of your pain, then how is that the solution to it? Right? Because it's just the easy, quick fix. No big deal. Just going in, popping some pills. Don't have to worry about too much, right? Super easy. Ibuprofen's popular. It has been potential for adverse effects, cardiovascular, gastrointestinal, hepatic, which is liver, kidneys, and neonatal health complications. They found in 2017, a study published in the European Heart Journal, cardiovascular pharmacotherapy, associated with ibuprofen consumption with a 31% increased risk of cardiac arrest, while several others linked the drug to non-fatal myocardial infarcts, like mini heart attacks, congestive heart failure, and high blood pressure. Again, with gastrointestinal problems, so ibuprofen harms the gastrointestinal, the GI tract, by reducing beneficial prostanoids that maintain the integrity of gastric tissue and the intestinal barrier. So, right, so we're like, I've got all this back pain, and you start taking all these over the counter, and then you're like, oh my goodness, how come my gut hurts? Now you increase intestinal permeability, intestinal inflammation, mucosal damage, gastric ulcers, diverticulitis, blood loss and anemia, nutrient malabsorption, right? You've taken ibuprofen for how many years and you can't figure out why you don't feel good. But in reality, it's because of the sheer fact that you're not absorbing nutrients because you're taking and popping in over the counter for your back pain. It also alters the gut microbiota. So sometimes people, I'm doing everything really right. I'm eating right. I'm exercising. But you don't want to say, hey, I'm also taking a massive amount of over-the-counters, which in reality is not only damaging the intestinal barrier, it allows for the transfer of inflammatory bacteria from the intestines to the liver, causing liver inflammation, promoting the development of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. All right. So when you're like, oh my gosh, I've got this liver disease, like what's it coming from? Likely your NSAIDs. Prenatal problems. So again, ibuprofen increases the risk of fetal and infant health problems. It's associated with decreased birth weight, an increased risk of cerebral palsy, altered fetal testis development, so the testicular development. And they found that it's likely because it interacts with maternal hormones, inducing brain oxidative stress, stimulating endocannabinoids receptors in the nervous system. Why do we think that this is okay? Why has this been the answer? And I truthfully believe it's because it's easy. It's because it's easy, right? And we think, hey, if it bothers my stomach a little bit, it's probably because I've always had stomach problems, you know? And then we see all of these, this irreparable damage, this irreversible organ damage that we've done to ourselves slowly over the course of time because we haven't taken them for 10 days as they recommend. But yet when we look and we search for other answers in terms of our pain, we've been, you know, here is, you know, here's some stretches, here's some strengthening. Oh, your back hurts. MD says you should lose some weight. Which is helpful. Obviously, if you're carrying around extra pounds, it's not going to be helpful. But if weight was this sheer cause of back problems, then why is it that when people lose the weight, they still have that back problem? Or why is it that not everyone who's overweight has those same problems? Because it's exacerbating an underlying and no one's addressing your underlying cause. That's where you have to start making that mindset shift of what do you want the rest of your life to look like? That you constantly have to carry around Tylenol, ibuprofen in your pocket, you're alternating them, you're trying to figure out, all the while letting the cause get worse. Osteoarthritis, disc degeneration, you're ignoring the pain that your body's trying to tell you and allow you to see there's something larger going on. And we just ignore it. And then it gets worse. And it comes to the point where, hey, remember those over-the-counter? It's not working anymore. Now you're having the muscle spasms. That's cool. Go to the doctor. Here's some Flexeril, right? That doesn't work. Hey, we might give you a couple of the heavier, you know, ones with the opioid mixtures, but we can't do it for very long. Hey, you know what? Maybe this is a muscle problem since you're having muscle spasms, not the fact that there's damage on the nerves, right? So here's some physical therapy. And when that physical therapy works a little bit, you get some relief, but you realize it's not a muscle problem, right? We go back and we'll do injections or rhizotomies, right? We're going to burn those nerves. We're going to go through all of these different paths. And we say, hey, you know what? Might be some surgery. When in reality, what does that quality of life look like when you could just get to the cause? And that's really what you have to start doing. You have to get those over-the-counter pain medications are just going to continue if you don't get to the cause. And that's why you need to come in so you can get evaluated. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can always go online to our website at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam consultation, just $25. So I look forward to seeing you, see what we can do to help. Know that those over-the-counters are not a solution. They are a Band-Aid, and no one's going to fight for your health more than you will. So look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.